Sons of God, if you're able to remain standing, please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 5 and go all the way to verse 10, or verse 12. Matthew 16, starting at verse 5. This is the Word of God. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought me no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we need your Holy Spirit, Lord, to open our eyes to see this passage for what it is. It is the Word of God. It has so much to teach us, to instruct us about. And Father, we need your Spirit, Lord, to help guide our not only our thoughts, but our hearts, to open our eyes to see this glorious passage for what it is, that we may receive it, submit to it, and live accordingly for your glory. Father, we pray all this, and be with your servant now as he seeks to proclaim this truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Saints of God, when it comes to false teaching, sometimes we wish it would come with an alarm, you know, with red flashing lights. But as the Bible warns us, it never works that way. False teaching creeps into households and takes advantage of those who are in vulnerable positions. That's how cults and religions like Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses spread. They, at least one of the ways, They reach the impoverished in society and they offer them to clean up their lives and provide some sort of structure. But in return, they believe in a false gospel, in a false Christ that will not save. False teaching comes quietly and it can even come under the disguise of truth or at least a portion of the truth. But when given time, it spreads and it molds itself into the person's heart and life. In our passage today, Jesus teaches us that false teaching is like leaven. And if we are not on guard, we will be blind to see its effects on our lives or in our church. Let's begin at verse 5 in our passage and the context here. Matthew picks up the disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee once again. They've been crossing it multiple times now. But this time they're heading north. And they're going all the way north up to a city called Caesarea Philippi, which we'll talk about, Lord willing, next week. But it's a long journey to get to Caesarea Philippi, and so it was important to be well prepared. And for all you hikers, outdoorsmen, campers, you know how important it is to be prepared. You know, if your hike takes a little longer than you think, it's important to carry an extra water or extra food. Or if you slipped and cut your knee or cut your leg or something, you'll be happy that you remember to, bring some first aid supplies. But in the case of the disciples, it was their job to make sure they had enough supplies, especially since the terrain that they were heading in was nothing but desert. It's a wasteland for the most part. But as soon as they got off that boat, they were picking up everything, they realized they forgot bread. And perhaps they were thinking, "Don't tell Jesus. He doesn't need to know. He doesn't need to hear about this." Maybe it'll go unnoticed. And the next thing you know, Jesus says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, judging from their response, they were so convicted and preoccupied by forgetting the bread, they missed the entire message of Jesus. They lacked spiritual discernment. They were blind to see the danger they were up against. Not only did Jesus have to warn them, but he had to help them to understand, and we'll see how he does this. So let's focus on the initial warning Jesus brings. This is coming from the recent confrontation that Jesus had with the Pharisees and Sadducees, or when they asked for a sign from heaven. Jesus refuses to cater to their unbelief and calls them out for rejecting the signs that God has already given them and will give them ultimately in the resurrection. And so Jesus says, take heed, or be perceptive. Don't be blindsided. And he says, beware. In other words, be on your guard. Don't get sucker punched by false teaching. Be vigilant. First Peter says something similar in saying, to gird up your minds. Be ready, be prepared. Or Paul, who says that let no one take your mind captive through vain philosophy, through vain deceit, according to the traditions of men. Rather, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Be on your guard. He then uses the illustration of leaven, or yeast, which has a rich background in Old Testament history. Throughout the Bible, leaven has been a symbol of evil or corruption. And it begins with, really, the grain offerings. If you read in Leviticus 2 and other passages in Leviticus, you read about the grain offerings, and every time they offered that, it was given with unleavened bread. Why? Because if you mix leaven into the bread, what happens when you leave a loaf of bread in the shelf? You know, open out of the bag. It gets moldy, right? It gets squishy. It becomes corrupt. And as this being an offering of worship to the Lord, well, we can't have anything that symbolizes corruption. And so no yeast was allowed to be present in the grain offerings. That doesn't mean, by the way, that the yeast in and of itself is evil. In fact, Jesus used leaven in a positive illustration in Matthew 13 concerning the growth of the kingdom. So it depends on what it is used to illustrate. But for the most part in Scripture, yeast is used to illustrate corruption and evil. If you ever made bread from scratch, you'll notice how small the seeds of yeast is. You mix it into the dough, you knead the batch, and then you let it rest, right? If you just watch for it, it's like watching paint dry. It's boring. There's nothing instantaneous about the transformation, you know, of this dough of bread with the yeast. But you walk away, you know, go to the store or something, come back in a couple hours, and that dough is going to be twice, maybe three times the size. And when you bake it, you can't remove the leaven. The leaven is already integrated. It's already part of that loaf. You can't just separate the seeds anymore. What was once small and seemingly innocent has now worked itself into the entire batch, making it inseparable. That is why false teaching is so dangerous. Meanwhile, the disciples interpreted this warning to mean, oh man, I guess we shouldn't buy a loaf of bread from the Pharisees. They didn't get it. But as they were talking among themselves about the bread, they were so fixated on the physical aspect of the bread or the leaven, Jesus had to rebuke them. He says, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember? Let's stop right there. What about their faith is he chastising? The simple answer is that is their lack of understanding, their lack of spiritual discernment concerning the words of Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 13, just a few hours prior, when Jesus is about to have this discourse of parables. The background of why he's speaking in those parables is Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus speaks these parables in order to judge and reveal who are truly blind. But he also speaks in parables to reveal those who have true sight, who have true understanding. And you read that in Matthew 13 from verses 14 and 15. This is at the background. Parables are function as a form of judgment, but also as forms as a function of clarity to those who are his disciples. It's the dividing line of those who are his disciples and those who are not. And at the very end of that discourse, Jesus directly asks his disciples, "Do you understand these things?" And they said emphatically, "Yes, Lord, we understand these things. We understand your teachings." And yet, after hearing, after seeing the message of Christ, they still had many moments of misunderstandings. Their lack of understanding is inexcusable because of the teaching they have received. Jesus expects them to grow in their understanding, and therefore he is holding them accountable with the knowledge they have been given. What good is it to know God's will intellectually if you do not follow God's will tangibly in your life? What good is it to receive good teaching if you don't apply that teaching in your life? You can listen to thousands of hours of solid Bible preaching and teaching lectures and sermons. 1,000 hours from, you know, guys, you know, Ligonier Ministry and listening to Sinclair Ferguson and R.C. Sproul. You can listen to 1,000 hours of that teaching, but if the Word of God that they are presenting doesn't rebuke you, instruct you, or train you, you will not mature in your faith. It's not enough to open up the Bible and read it. You must receive it as God speaking to us how he calls us to walk in this life. We must not be hearers of the word, but we must submit ourselves to the word of God and be doers of the word, as James puts it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "God has given us all things that pertain to godliness, to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." So you see, knowledge and godliness go hand in hand. It's not one or the other. It's both and. It's going back to the disciples. What did the disciples fail to understand? What knowledge did they fail to apply? Well, the fact that Jesus purposely uses metaphors that have spiritual meaning in his teaching. He was so preoccupied by the literal bread, but Jesus wasn't mad about them forgetting bread. What they truly forgot was to use spiritual discernment to his teaching. You see, everything Jesus taught, every parable he gave, every miracle he performed surrounds his identity as the Messiah who's bringing about the kingdom of heaven. Any teaching, any doctrine that deviates from knowing that Christ is the Messiah, that we are to follow him in his word and his teaching, is the leaven that needs to be cut off or avoided at all costs. This is why Jesus brings up the two feast accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 followed by the 4,000. Don't you remember these things? You have just witnessed them with your own eyes. You held with your own bare hands baskets upon baskets of abundant food for those people, thousands of people. You were so preoccupied. "Well, we don't have enough bread. We don't have enough fish." And Jesus says, "Give that to me. I am the bread of life." The point of the bread wasn't the bread. It's about what the bread pointed to. The bread pointed to Christ as the Messiah who is bringing about his people, who's providing for his people, who is the bread of life. He has the authority and compassion to provide for our needs because he is the Son of God. That's what it was pointing to. That's what they were to recognize. And what's interesting is that instead of rephrasing the point, Jesus merely repeats the warning. But then something clicks in the minds of the disciples. Matthew says, then they understood. Then they understood. But it was Christ's rebuke that led them to greater wisdom and understanding. I think that's one thing we need to understand from the get-go here. Jesus doesn't always spoon-feed his disciples. He challenges them in the right way so that they can think through and find the answers for themselves. As the good shepherd, sometimes shepherds carry their sheep on their back, and sometimes shepherds send in the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs, they run around, and what do? They nip at the heels of the sheep to bring them where they need to go. This is the nature of discipleship. This is the nature of being a people who follow the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. That is profitable for doctrine. Oh yeah, we love that part. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. That, you know. No, it says for reproof or rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Proverbs 9, 8 to 10 says this, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As soon as the disciples lowered their guard and submitted themselves to what Christ is saying to them, instead of being on the defensive end, they understood. As soon as they received Christ's rebuke by the work of the Holy Spirit, they were able to understand. So what was it that the disciples finally understood? That just as the bread was not about the bread, the leaven is not about the leaven in itself. It's about what the leaven points to, which in this case is the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, last time we mentioned that the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't agree on a lot of things. They weren't buddies, you know. Politically speaking, theologically speaking, they were at odds at many points. But not only were they coming against Christ, but their teachings that have influenced the minds of so many people are also against Christ. Was there a specific doctrine that Jesus was warning them against? Yes. All of them. All of them. You cannot chew the meat and spit out the bones with false teaching. Why? Because the meat itself is poison. One bite of it, and it's in your bloodstreams. It's in your bloodstream, spreading throughout your entire body. Likewise, allowing the leaven of false teaching will infiltrate the hearts of God's people and into the church. If you read the entire New Testament, I actually haven't looked this up specifically, but I don't think I can count with one hand, with a full hand, of the amount of books in the New Testament that doesn't bring up false teaching and warn against false teachers. Because most of it is regarding that, at least in a portion of it. So it's important that we understand this, that we hear this loud and clear. The Apostle Paul, in the same vein of our Lord Jesus Christ, uses this illustration of leaven and connects it to false teaching. Galatians 5, 7 through 9, Paul is dealing with Judaizers telling God's people that the Mosaic law has not been done away with. Circumcision still needs to be a part of the community of faith, of the church. And then Paul says in Galatians 5, do not be entangled with this yoke of bondage. If you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You want to keep the law to earn your righteousness? You need to keep the whole law then. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to pay your own debt. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. And then he says this in verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Living by the law to earn your righteousness is deceitful because it gives you a false sense of security that you're obeying God when you are not. If your trust is in your law-keeping rather than in Jesus who has kept the law for you, then you are not obeying Christ. Either Christ is all of your righteousness or he is none of your righteousness. Christ does not provide 99% while you provide a measly 1%. It's Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus me. It's Christ alone. Paul continues, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. This persuasion, this deceptive thinking does not come from Christ. It does not come from the Word of God. And then he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. This seemingly pious and righteous leaven works itself in and corrupts your entire soul. Why? Because you will constantly be looking to your performance for your comfort. You will never feel clean enough. You will never feel righteous enough. The Belgian Confession nails this on the head in Article 24 when it says that we would always, if we trusted in our own works and in our own faithfulness, we would always be tossed to and fro without any certainty, and our poor consciences would continually be vexed or restless if they relied not on the merits of the suffering and death of our Savior. Take heed, beware the leaven of legalism, because it will drive you away from following Christ, who is the only one who can give you rest. Another leaven that we see in our day and age is a term called social justice. Social justice is one of the forms of leaven that is infiltrating our church today. And for our purposes, we can give a whole Sunday school or two about what social justice means and defining it. But for our purposes, social justice uses sociological and legal theories that create categories of privilege. It says the root of every disparity in society is caused by racism and white supremacy, and therefore we must pursue the goal of equity by the redistribution of wealth. It's a mouthful, I know. But in other words, if you are white, male, able-bodied, heterosexual, and I will add Christian, then you are privileged in this society because it was built for you to succeed. And for those who don't fit into those categories, fall into the category of oppressed or victims of society. What you need to do is to check your privilege and demand that society makes it an equal playing field for everybody. You'll hear this kind of message from those influenced by critical race theory or those who call themselves anti-racist, which is very deceptive in itself because we should all be against racism. But when you swallow that, when you chew that piece of meat, you're also swallowing the whole ideology underneath it. You're drinking the poison that's within the meat. Although the root of this movement is secular, it's taking advantage of the emotions of Christians who know the Bible is against racism, who know the Bible is against injustice, but we need to sit at the feet of these godless theories that don't have a clue of what justice is according to the Word of God. It doesn't create impartiality, it creates partiality. It creates a heart of covetousness self-victimization to the point that that becomes our identity. This is not. It has nothing to do with what Scripture teaches. Beloved in Christ, we don't need social theories from unbelievers to tell us how to be the church and how to minister to the hearts of the lost. We have the Word of God, and that is sufficient. So beware of the leaven of social justice. It is a yoke of bondage that does not provide relief or peace. They say no justice, no peace, but there is no peace without Christ. They don't understand that. They will never understand it unless the gospel is preached to them. Paul uses leaven in another way, 1 Corinthians 5, and I won't take as much time here. But 1 Corinthians 5, the context is that there is a case of incest within the congregation, an egregious sin in this community, in this church. And this person needs to be disciplined, he needs to be delivered over to Satan, what we will call excommunicated, in order that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul says, you do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, or that is pure and holy. The leaven he wants to purge from this church community is that the leaven is the leaven of malice or wickedness, or the leaven of licentiousness, which is a fancy way of saying we can live however we want. And it's interesting that when you study false teachers, they go one of two directions: law, 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 or grace, grace, grace. You can live how you wish, God's a God of grace, or you need to keep these laws in order to be righteous in our sight. But thanks be to God, he has given us the ability to discern the leaven in front of us through the sufficient word of Christ. The leaven of both legalism and lawlessness is the warning that is spelled out for us loud and clear in Scripture, beginning with the disciples and this leaven that is facing and approaching them through the influence and the teachings of legalism through the Pharisees and Sadducees. But by way of extension, the New Testament also warns us of this leaven of lawlessness as well. But we are not lacking in anything, that we need to be discerning, that we are not to focus on the physical nature of the leaven, but we are to focus on what the leaven points to. And likewise, we are to focus on what the bread points to, which is the only way that we can understand what is the truth and what is false. What is a true gospel? What is a false gospel? By what the Word of God tells us, by how Christ reveals himself and is revealing himself through his ministry here throughout the Gospel of Matthew. He is the Son of God. He has come down from heaven. He has come to rescue sinners from their sin and judgment. He has come to provide for all of the needs of sinners on the basis of his sacrifice, of his righteousness. Any leaven that takes your eyes away from that or adds on to that is what we need to cut off altogether. Anything that deviates or adds on to the gospel is the leaven that we need to cut off. Thanks be to God that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have the Word of God, that we have the gospel laid out for us loud and clear, that we can be able to recognize the leaven, that it would not infiltrate our church or in our lives. Easier said than done. And sometimes Christ and the Word of God needs to continually rebuke us. But nevertheless, it is sufficient. Pay attention. Keep your eyes peeled. hold fast to the word of God, then nothing will enter that will destroy your soul. His grace is sufficient. His word is sufficient. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we walk in this life, as we encounter so many things that want to enter into our minds, that want to infiltrate our hearts and our souls, whether emotionally or all these various ways, Lord, all these tactics that the devil uses to distract or deviate the church from the path they are to go, to deviate or to clutter the waters, to muddy the waters of the gospel. But Father, the gospel is clear. Christ is clear. Father, that will give us all the wisdom that we need. But Lord, we need your help. We need your spirit, Lord, to discern these things, these matters. That you will guard this church and will guard the families that make up this church from false teaching, from leaven of legalism, from the leaven of lawlessness. Guard us, Lord. Protect us. And give us ears to hear and eyes to see. By your Spirit, Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.